Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you, as always, for coming to learn together this evening. So I'm going to share two shilas. We're right in between Purim and Pesach, a little closer to Purim, but right in between Purim and Pesach. So I figured neither shila relates to really Purim or Pesach, but one shila came up on Purim, and one shila will be coming up on Pesach, even though the Purim Shaila is not so much a Hilchos Purim Shaila, and the Pesach Shaila is not so much a Hilchos Pesach Shaila. So with that backdrop, here are the two Shailas. Shaila number one, a friend of mine texted me on Purim morning, or Purim late morning, that his daughter, who is a wonderful, frum young lady, has a friend who is also a wonderful, very sincerely frum young lady, and this friend was in shul on Purim morning, and I guess she didn't get the memo in terms of the type of minyan she was davening at. You know, sometimes you have these Purim morning minyanim where Megillah's in 18 minutes flat, you know, and then you add that to the 18 minutes of regular davening, and it's 36 minutes and you're out of there. She was unaware that that was the kind of minyan she was davening at, so she was sitting there davening Shmona Esrei, and in middle of her Shmona Esrei, she realizes that they start laying the Megillah right in the middle of her Shmona Esrei, meaning she was... So she was davening Shmona Esrei right through Vayava Amalek, right through Kriyas HaTorah, and right then they started laying the Megillah. So what should she do? So she didn't know what to do. So she stopped right then. I'm sorry, Dan. Because I'm getting feedback from a. Let me see if I can do that for you. She stopped davening right at that moment, and she listened to the whole Megillah right in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, stopped and listened to the entire Megillah, and then when she finished, when the Megillah was over, she continued in Shemoneh Esrei, whatever she was up to, you know, at Samach Tavid, you know, she just continued and finished Shemoneh Esrei. So now she wants to know, was she Yotzei Megillah? Was she Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei? And if she would have asked the Shaila, what would the right answer have been? Meaning, what should she have done? She's not sure if what she did is the correct thing to do. What should she have done given the circumstance? So that was the Shaila from Purim. Again, not so much a Hilchos Purim Shaila, but a Shaila from Purim. The second Shaila I got today is also about a young lady, a very nice, sincere, frum young lady, who has the following challenge. She has some sort of hormonal imbalance that she deals with, and she has to take certain medications, and I'm not sure if it's a result of the hormonal imbalance itself or the medications that she has to take in order to deal with the hormonal imbalance, but she grows facial hair, and it grows rather quickly, and it's somewhat embarrassing for her. So she always cuts the facial hair. Kamuvan, you know, she doesn't want to, you know, look like she has facial hair, so she always cuts the facial hair. In one day's time, it's not going to grow enough to be noticeable. So Shabbos does not pose a problem for her. But 3 days' time would be noticeable enough to be a problem for her, and she's looking forward and realizing that she has a 3-day Yom Tov of Pesach coming up. So she wants to know, what should she do? Now, you might say, okay, you know, she's a monk family, it's Pesach time, you know, she doesn't have to go to shul if she doesn't want to, you know, she's a monk family anyway, so it's family understands and no one's going to look at her funny or anything like that. She is going to a Pesach program. She is also in Shiduchim right now, and the pull of going to the Pesach program is that it's good for Shiduchim. That's what all the Shadchanim tell her. You know, you can go and be seen at a Pesach program and you'll be able to make connections and maybe someone will have an idea for you, someone will have a Shidduch for you. So she's going to be at a Pesach program for 3 days Yantiv. She knows that her facial hair is going to grow over the course of those 3 days. What should she do about that situation over Pesach? So those are our two Shailas. Shaila number one about someone in middle of Shemoneh Esrei and they start Kriyas HaMegillah. Shaila number two about the young lady that unfortunately has this challenge that she grows facial hair. What should she do about it over a 3-day Yantiv? Okay, the votes are coming in. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, it's a close one. It looks like Shaila number two wins, but not all the votes are in. Okay, some people didn't vote. Okay. All right, by a slim margin, Shaila number two wins. Okay, so we will take Shaila number two for this evening, which I'm happy about because I just gave the shiur on Shaila number one to Karen Biavna about 2 hours ago, so I'd rather do something new. I don't want to bore myself. Okay, so if you're interested in Shaila number one, you can listen to it online as soon as I have a chance to upload it later this evening. So let's discuss Shaila number two. So first of all, we have to figure out what's the Yisr, meaning what's the Yisr of removing hair? So that's an easy one. What's the Yisr of removing hair on Shabbos or Yantiv? The Yisr is a malach of gozes. It's an Yisr d'oraisa of gozes. So one might ask the question, Yisr d'oraisa of gozes? When your gozes tzemer, when you shear wool from a sheep, right? Why are you gozes the tzemer? You gozes the tzemer because you want the wool, not because you love a clean-shaven sheep, right? It's not because you think a clean-shaven sheep looks more handsome or something, right? You want the wool. So if you're going to be gozes something, not because you want it, she has no interest in collecting this hair. She only wants a smooth face. So if you're going to be gozes, not because you want it, but only because you want to clear the area that you're being gozes from, is that called the melacha d'oraisa? That would seem to be a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa, because melacha shein tzricha l'gufa means you're doing the exact act that they did in the Mishkan, but for a different purpose, right? The classic example of melacha shein tzricha l'gufa is that you dig a hole, but ein tzarich el afaro, you don't need the hole, you need the dirt. So you're doing the same exact act of digging, but for a different purpose than the act of digging was done in the Mishkan. And there is a machlokes tanaim where the melacha shein tzricha l'gufa is chayiv or pater. Chayiv would mean that it's nisa d'oraisa. Pater would mean, as it always does in Hilchos Shabbos, pater aval aser, but it would only be in iser d'rabanan. So you always have to define first, are we talking about nisa d'oraisa or nisa d'rabanan? So one might say, oh, well, we paskin melacha shein tzricha l'gufa is only aser mid'rabanan, and therefore maybe hair removal is only in iser mid'rabanan, or cutting nails maybe is only in iser mid'rabanan, but that is not the case, because the sugya is a Masechta Shabbos and the halach psuk and Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Shabbos that if someone does no til tziparnav pe'etzbo, that you use your fingers to peel your own fingernails or you bite your nails, you do something in a way that is not the normal way to remove fingernails, then it's going to be melach shein tzricha l'gufa. Then it's pater aval aser. But if you cut nails bekli, or you cut your hair bekli, you remove things in a normal way, then that's considered to be the Mishnah says you're chayuv for that. That's a chayuv da'oraisa. So how can you say that? But the question now just shifts though. Okay, you're going to tell me you're chayuv mi da'oraisa for normal hair removal methods. Why? Why isn't it a melach shein tzricha l'gufa? It would seem to be a melach shein tzricha l'gufa. So there is a lengthy bir halacha about this in the beginning of Simin Shin Mem in Shulchan Aruch, and the bir halacha writes in Shin Mem in Dibra Maschil v'chayiv that it is called tzricha l'gufa, because he said not every time they did the melach of gozes in the Mishkan was it because they needed that which they were being gozes. It was not always because they needed that which they were shearing, meaning they also did gozes on the oros elim. The oros elim, they didn't need that which when they were shearing off of the oros of the rams. They needed the oros themselves, and the oros had to appear smooth and had to appear nice. So they were gozes that for the sake. This is this is not the Bir Halacha's own idea. He collects this. This is a shita of the Rivash, and the Bir Halacha shows that that idea that it's called melacha tzricha l'gufa, even when you don't need that which you're shearing off, when you're just trying to make it appear nicer, is not only the shita of the Rivash, it is also the shita of the Ran and the Rush and Rabbeinu Chananel. However, says the Bir Halacha, the Gra uses this as a raya that melach shein tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. That it must be that we paskin that melach shein tzricha l'gufa is chayiv daraisa. But whichever way you want to say it, when you're removing hair in a normal way, in order to clean off your face, that is a melacha d'oraisa, right? That there's no doubt about. The question is only why it's chayiv d'oraisa. Is it because it's called tzricha l'gufa, or is it because we paskin melach shein tzricha l'gufa is d'oraisa? So there's no doubt that it's a d'oraisa. So we're in trouble now, right? If our starting point is that there's a melach d'oraisa, and she's got 3 days of yantif to worry about, so what can we do for this young lady? So let's think of an eitza. So one possible eitza is that maybe if they have on staff in the hotel, I don't know what kind of hotel she's staying at, so maybe they'll have someone who's able to to a non-Jew who's able to do this for her? Is there a problem in asking a non-Jew to do this for you? Is that going to be okay? So the non-Jew it would be Amira La'akum in a chinami, but the non-Jew is the one doing the malacha entirely. So you have like a similar such conversation, a similar discussion when it comes to cutting nails for the mikveh. You know, there is a practice that certainly is universal among Ashkenazic Jews and is very common among Sephardic Jews as well, and that is for a woman to cut her fingernails down to the length of her fingertips before going to the mikveh. So the Mordechai writes that women have a minhag to cut their nails before going to the mikveh out of concern that the dirt beneath their fingernails is going to be a chatzitza. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeus in Mekuf Tzadiches, Sif Yud Ches, quotes this halacha and says, Nahagu anashim litol tziporneim b'shas tvila, that the minhag is that women cut their fingernails b'shas tvila. And the simple reason is that it's difficult to figure out which part of the fingernails is keneged abasar and what is not keneged abasar. And when it comes to figuring out what's a chatzitza, the Tosefta in Meseches Nida tells us that it makes a difference whether it's keneged abasar or not keneged abasar. So the Chachma Sadam in Klal Kuf Yotes if Yud Beis says that the practice is to cut them ad habasar velo yoser, to cut the fingernails until the length of the fingertip. She doesn't have to go crazy and really cut deep down. You know, sometimes a woman gets very nervous and wants to make sure that the fingernails are fully cut, and she ends up causing herself to bleed or hurting herself. She shouldn't do that, but just to the length of the fingertip. The Ra'avan in Maseches Nida adds that kala omed ligazes kigazos dami, that if she plans on cutting her fingernails off, and then she plans on cutting her fingernails shorter rather, and she hasn't yet, then that the fingernail itself might be a chatzitza. Forget about what's under the nail, the fingernail itself might be a chatzitza because it's omed ligazes, it's something that is soon meant to be shorn off. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Chaf in Simkov Tzadiches writes that dafka, if you have dough underneath the fingernail, it's chotzitz, but the fingernail itself is not a chatzitza, not like that Ravan. But then the Rama adds, Umeach tekvar nagu lital tziparnayim afilim tziparnachas nishar biyadu v'tavla tzricha tvila acheres. That nowadays, even if she left one fingernail long, she's going to require another tevila. She has to go back to the mikveh to cut her fingernails. So Reb Chaim Eizer, in the famous Tshuva, in Achiezer Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed Gimel, discusses what if you have a woman who refuses to cut her nails. She says, my nails are beautiful, I love my fingernails, I don't want to cut my fingernails. So he points out that for them it's not omid ligazes, and therefore it wouldn't be a chatzitza, and therefore it should not prevent the mikveh from working, because it's not something, meaning if you're worried about dirt under the nails, so she can clean it out and see that there's no dirt there. Ah, chashash, there might be. Okay, but you wouldn't pasul a tevila for a chashash, there might be, when you can see that there isn't, right? But when it comes to if the nail itself is a chatzitza, then you have a real problem. So says Reb Chaim Eizer, the nail itself is not going to be a chatzitza if she never ever plans on cutting it. You know, there's a fascinating tshuva in the Chasam Sofer. In Yerodeus and Kutzadiyeh, the Chasam Sofer was asked about Hasidish women. Hungarian women used to have the practice, many Hasidim still have the practice, that after the wedding night, the wife, the Kala, shaves her head before going to the mikveh the next time, and every time subsequent before going to the mikveh, that she shaves her head. So the Shaila, but the practice was that when they went to the mikveh before the wedding, they would still have their hair. They wouldn't shave their head. They only shaved their head after the Bia Rishona, when they went to the mikveh. For whatever reason, that was the practice. So someone asked the Chasam Sofer, well, wait a second. If her plan is to shave her head, then isn't all of her hair omeid ligazes? It's meant to eventually be shorn off, and therefore, mimela, it's a chatzitza, because kala omeid le is ki. If it's omeid ligazes, it's ki gazos dami. It's as if it's already shorn off, and it's a foreign substance on the body, and therefore it should be a problem. So asks the Shawel to the Chasam Sofer, says the Chasam Sofer, no. Omeid le is ki when it's right away omeid le, meaning if something is supposed to happen immediately, then we view it ki'ilu, it's already happened. But if something is only supposed to happen after another step comes up, like shaving her head, that's only after she gets married, it has to be a Rishona. So there's got to be something else that happens between now and then, and when she actually shaves her head. So then we don't say it's Omid L'Gazis yet. At that point, we would not say Omid L'Gazis. Why am I bringing all this in? We're not learning Hilchos Nidah. Now, why am I bringing all this in? Because what happens if a woman's Leil Tevila Shabbos, and Friday was busy, and she did most of her preparations, she really did a good job cleaning her body and everything else before Shabbos, she managed it, but then she looks at her nails, you know, she's doing this, you know, to light the Shabbos candles, and and she sees that her fingernails are still long. So now what does she do? Oh, hey, it's Shabbos already. So she shows that she can't cut her nails now. So the Taz writes, just clean them out. Do your best to clean them out. And that's what you could do. Says the Shach in the Kudus HaKesef. Well, then Taz writes, oh, you might tell me, just have a guy do it for her. Have a non-Jew cut the fingernails for her. Says the Taz, I'm not comfortable with that, because she's undoubtedly going to help position her fingers in such a way that will make it easier for the non-Jew to cut them, and that's going to be a violation of Misayeya. That just like the Halacha by HaKafas HaRosh is that Misayeya is a problem. There's an Isser on both the Makif and the Nikif, meaning if there's an Isser of cutting off your payas, right? So if you go to the barber and you ask the barber to shave off your payas, so just by tilting your head and by being there and positioning yourself, that's an issur d'oraisa also to even be a nigif in hakafas harosh. Therefore, says the Taz, the same is true by other isurim as well. The same is true if she's going to position her hand in such a way that it will make it easy for the non-Jew to cut her fingernails. So the Taz says that's going to be a problem. Comes along the Shach in Nekudas HaKesef on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, and he says, nah, ask a non-Jew to do it. It's perfectly fine. What about Misayeya? He says, Misayeya, that's only for the Yisra of Makif HaRosh. That's only for the Yisra of HaKafas HaRosh. That's not a din by everything that Misayeya is Yesh B'Mamish, that Misayeya is automatically included in the Yisra. This is, in fact, a suffix in the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has exactly this suffix. When we say that being nikif is problematic, is that true only for the Yisra of HaKafas HaRosh? He thinks it's 2 days in Rashi and Makos. Or is it true for every Yisra? Minchas Chinuch discusses it in the context of the Yisra of Sirus. There's an Yisra, you're not allowed to be Masari Sebehema, right? You're not allowed to neuter your pet. But not only that, you're not even allowed to do it to, you're also not allowed to neuter a human being. So you're not allowed to, what they call, tie the tubes, or you get a vasectomy, or things like that, or do a vasectomy. A lot of times, doctors in training don't realize this. Someone is a resident, and whenever the attending gives the resident the opportunity to do something, they get all excited. Ooh, I get to try, right? So the attending may tell the resident, here, you snip over here. And the resident, oh, I'm so excited. If it's a firm resident, and we're talking about doing a vasectomy, he has to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. He can watch, you know, to see what's done, so he can understand the medical procedure, but he cannot do it. That's an issur d'oraisa to actually do that. Okay, that's as far as being the doctor. But what about being the patient? If a patient wants to get a vasectomy, can he come in and say, I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to lie here and allow you to put me under anesthesia, and then you'll do it, and you'll, it'll be the easiest form of birth control. You know, if the guy says, my wife doesn't want to have any more children, and she's fed up already with all these hormones and the pills and this and that, she's not interested, so this is the easiest thing for me, right? So is he allowed to do that? The Minchas Chinuch says he's not sure, because on the one end, meaning the Isser is on the person doing it, but maybe there's a din of Nikif also, meaning maybe there's an Isser da'oraisa of being the one to have it done on. Now, either way, when you ask the doctor to do it, l'chora it's going to be a problem of at least Amir la'akum, right? That you're asking someone to do an Isser on your behalf, but Amir la'akum is only drabanan. Right, Amir Lakum is only Drabanan. But if Nikif is a real issue, if being the one who it's positioning yourself to allow someone to do something on you is a real issue, then it could be a Din D'oraisa that we're talking about over here. So Nekudas HaKesef does not think that it's a violation of Misayeha. In Mishnah Siyavitz, Rav Sholti, in Hilchos Yom Tov, Siman Lamed Tes, says that this machlokas Taz and Shach is a machlokas whether Misayeha is a principle that whenever you help it, it's as if you're doing it, meaning whenever you help something happen, that's ki'ilu, you are making it happen? Or is it just a gzeres hakasa from the words lo takifu, that it's plural, that the payos are, by payos we say that mesayaya matters, right? That's what the machloka seems to be about. One of my wildest shailas, probably the wildest shaila I ever had, was relating to that exact issue. There was a man who was a Jew who was married to a non-Jew for many years, and he started to become frumer, and he started to learn and to daven and to keep kosher, and he's still married to his non-Jewish wife who he loves very, very much and has a family with and everything, and he's falling in love with Yiddishkeit now. He really loves Judaism. And there's like this little problem. He's observant of everything, except he has this one little problem. He's married to a non-Jewish woman. So what does he do now? So you think, okay, see if she's interested. Maybe she'll be interested in converting. She was. She was super interested in converting. She's all in. She's making kosher food in the house. The whole house is kosher. And, you know, she's attending women's shiurim. It's great. Problem is, he's a Kohen. So what are you going to do? You're going to convert her? Then she's not allowed to be married to him. So the guy was learning Yevamos one day, and he came up with a chap, and he realized that there's an issur in the Torah called Patsua Daka, and Patsua Daka is a psul, Krosh Shavcha and Patsua Daka is a psul, Lava Bakal. Patsua Daka does not have the yichus of a kayin, and he's allowed to marry. We normally don't think of it as a heter of Patsua Daka, it's a. That's the way he was viewing it. I have the heter of a Patsua Daka that I'm able to marry a Gioras. It's an Isser of Patsua Daka love a Pekal. A Patsua Daka is only allowed to marry a Gioras or a Mamzeres, right? He's not allowed to marry anybody else. It worked for him. So he wanted it. He said, I understand it's Usser to be a Patsua Daka, but like, what's worse, to be married to a guy the rest of my life? Because I'm not getting rid of my wife. You know, that's not an option over here. So I could be married to a non-Jew the rest of my life, or I could just be a Patsua Daka. So that was his, or I could just do this Isser. So that was his shayla. So the question was, how bad of an Isser is it? Right? So if being a Nikif is an Issa Daraisa, and it's an Issa Daraisa, he's also participating in the Isser. But if not, then maybe it's only an Isser of Amir La'akum, which is an Isser Darabanan. There's another possibility in that case, and that is the Gemara Sanhedrin has a machlokas, whether it's the Isser of being Misares is an Isser even on a non-Jew, even an Isser for a non-Jew to be Misares. If that's the case, then it's an Isser Lifnei Iver Midaraisa, because he's causing a non-Jew to violate the Isser. Okay, but that's this broader discussion when it comes to having a non-Jew cut your fingernails on Shabbos. So is that an Isser Doraisa, or is it only an Isser Drabanan of Amiru La'akum? Rav Shakta thought that if you can find a non-Jew, that we would pass like the Nukudas HaKesef, they should have the non-Jew cut the fingernails. But if you can't find a non-Jew, then rather than just trying to clean out under the nails and go to the mikvah like that, wait another day. Wait till Motzai Shabbos. You should delay Tevila for that purpose, even though Meikar Adin, if there's nothing dirty under the nails, it would seem that they are not really a Chatzitza. Rav Vosner writes in Shir HaShevet HaLevi that we should pass on like the Taz, that even if you can find a non-Jew, do not use a non-Jew. Do not go to the mikvah that night. You're going to have to wait till the next night because you're not allowed to use a non-Jew in that situation. So when it comes to the hair removal, let's say she can find a non-Jew who's willing to pluck or shave or however, I don't know, cream, ointment, whatever it is that she uses to remove her hair. Let's say she's able to find a non-Jew to do it. She would have to be very careful not to be Misayaya, because if she's Misayaya, then it could be, at least according to some poskim, at least according to the Taz, that she's in violation of the Sudaraisa. So let's assume she's not Misayaya, or let's assume that Misayaya is in fact not in the Sudaraisa. So now we're able to say, what is it that she's doing? By asking a non-Jew to shave for her, she is in violation of Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum is an Isser Midrabanan, but an Isser Midrabanan has the word Isser in there, because you're not allowed to do it, right? So we still haven't helped her, right? The fact that it's an Isser Midrabanan still has not helped her. So is there anything that we can do? So there is a principle that the Gemara discusses in Brachos Daf Yutes called Kavod HaBrios. The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Yutes, if a person is walking down the street and then they look in their jacket and they see, oh, what does it say in the jacket? Made of linen and wool. Looks like I'm wearing shatnez. So then, poshtan afilu b'shuk, Take it off even if you're in public. Your suit is made of shatnis, remove the suit, even if you're in public. I feel a bashuk. My taima, ein chachmein, tvuna, ein etzel, negra shav. Oh, it's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to walk around in my underwear in the street because I had to take off my suit. Yeah, doesn't matter. There's a kol makam sheish chil Hashem, ein cholkin kovet l'rav. We don't care about human dignity when it's a matter of chil Hashem. Ask the Gemara, really? Is that true? Aye, don't we say Gadol Kavod Abriyos Docha Lo Sase Shabbat Torah, that human dignity is Docha Lo Sase Shabbat Torah? Amai, why would that be true? Leme in Chachmein Tvune Neitzel Neger Hashem. So says Gemara, Tir Gemara Rav Bar Shava Kamed Rav Kana Belavd Lo Sasu. When we say Kavod Abriyos Docha Lo Sase Shabbat Torah, we only mean Dinim Drabanan. That you're allowed to violate dinim derabanan for the sake of kavod abrios, but not dinim daraisa. So when we say it's docha lo se shabbat Torah, we mean lo sasser, which is a fancy way of saying dinim derabanan. Now, the Gemara then goes on to say, oh yeah, but what about the fact that we learned that if someone is a zakein vein lefi kvodo, he's pater from Hashavas Aveda. That if, let's say, you have a chashav or a sheshiva walking down the street and someone had lost something that would be embarrassing for a chashav or a sheshiva to carry around. So in the Tshuva of Zilberstein, he gave an example of like a tricycle that would be embarrassing to walk around with a tricycle. I don't know, it's not so embarrassing. Maybe he has grandchildren, I don't know. Rav Shachter always gives the example of underwear. So, okay, sees a pair of underwear on the street. They say, oh, somebody lost their underwear. So he picks up the, someone else had a shayla where a woman, a pack of bedikah cloths fell out of a woman's purse. So to pick it up and run around. So maybe that would be embarrassing for the Rosh Shiva to be walking around with bedikah cloths or something like, whatever it is. There's a zak in vain and lefi kvodo. So the Gemara says, you're potter. So that based on the pasuk, visalamta, that visalamta means that sometimes you're supposed to be misalim. That's by dinim amnes. But iser, you would the kavod abrios would lose. So says Gemara, I'll give you another example. What about being metame to the kohen being metame for the sake of kavod abrios? So what about ein chachmen in tvune neitzel neged Hashem? Says Gemara, shevi al tasa shayni. The Gemara gives another example by metame lemeis mitzvah, that shevi al tasa shayni, that to violate nisu daraisa b'shevi al tasa is also okay for kavod abrios. So essentially, what the Gemara says is that when there's a significant risk to one's kavod abrios, you're allowed to violate three things: dinim amnes, shevi al tasa, right, nisu daraisa passively, and any isur drabanan, even actively. So what we have to figure out is if we have an isur drabanan over here, and that's all this is, if she's not misayaya and it's only an isur drabanan, can we say that this is gadol kavod abrios? And therefore she's allowed to violate the isur drabanan of amir la'akum, of having someone do it for her. Or even doing it herself with a shinui. Meaning, maybe if there's some way that she could do the hair removal with the shinui, so that would knock it down to nisid rabbanon. And maybe for the sake of kavod abrios, we would allow nisid rabbanon. You know, the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Tesam Beis, tells us the importance of kavod abrios. Is that's the difference between tashlume arba'a and tashlume chamisha. Bo re'e kama gadol kavod abrios shor shalach baraglav chamisha seshir kivol ksefo arba'a, that you pay less for stealing a seb because you have to suffer the indignity of carrying it on your shoulders. So we see the maila of kavod abrios. In fact, the Meiri writes that Yesh Dvarim Shatorah Hirchiva Lanu Asaderech Lidchos Mitzvos Aksuv B'Torah Mipnei Kavod Abrios, that sometimes we're docha certain mitzvos in the Torah on account of Kavod Abrios. You know, there is a discussion exactly how to define Shevi Al Tasa. Let's say it were Nisa Daraisa, but she's being passive, she's not doing anything, right? So would you say that her sitting there and having a guy do it, that's called Shevi Al Tasa? Would we define that as Shevi Al Tasa? So even if it were Nisa Daraisa, would we define that as Shevi Al Tasa? So there is a Machlokas Rambam in the Rush, what the proper girsa is in that Gemara in Mesechus Brachos. Hamotze Klayim, so is it Hamotze Klayim Bibigdo, or just Hamotze Klayim? Poshto Afilu B'Shuk. So if it's Motze Klayim Bibigdo, you find Klayim in your own Beged, so then it's telling you that if you find the Shatnas on yourself, you got to take it off. But if the gear says Hamotzei Klayim, it means you see someone else wearing shatnez, that you should go with them and rip their shatnez off of them in public. So the Nodav Yehuda explains that the machlokas is about how to define Shevi Al Tasa. Meaning, if I see someone else wearing shatnez, do I have a responsibility to take it off of them? They're doing the Aveira Bekum Va'aseh. They're doing the Aveira Bekum Va'aseh. I, by not taking it off, am allowing it to happen by me being Shevi Al Tasa. Is that called Kum Va'aseh or is that called Shevi Al Tasa? So that's the machlokas between the Rasha and the Rambam. That's what the Nodav Yehuda points out, is machlokas between the Rasha and the Rambam. Is it based on what I'm going to have to do, or the how bad of an Avera it is? That an Avera that's done, Bekum Va'aseh, is a more Chomer Dega Avera, and therefore it's not about whether I'm being Shevi Al Tasa. The Nodav Yehuda's context was a case of a guy, it's a famous tshuva in Madura Kama, or Chaim Sim Lamed Hei, where there's a case of a yeshiva bacher who was engaged to be married, and he was a big, big masmid, and he was like the best guy in the yeshiva, and it used to be that they would put the yeshiva bacher up at people's houses to stay. They didn't have dormitories. So the case was that it's a famous tshuva in the Yehuda, because it's a crazy case, and I'll tell you why another reason in a second, but the case was that he was engaged to the daughter of the people that he stayed by for all those years while he was learning yeshiva. What a beautiful story. He fell in love with the daughter, and they're engaged to be married, and it's wonderful. But the problem was that while he's been living in the house, he was also carrying on an affair with the girl's mother, with the woman of the house, for all those years. And he never told... The father never knew. So his future father-in-law doesn't realize that his future mother-in-law is Asura to his future father-in-law. So the shaila is, do I have to tell the shver that, by the way, mazel tov to me, I'm getting married to your daughter, you need to give your wife a get because she's Asura to you, because she's been sleeping with me for the last 3 years. So that was the shaila. So the question is, it would be a big pagam in the Kavod HaBrios of this family. Can you imagine such a scandalous story? So every time the father-in-law is with the mother-in-law, he's doing an Avera Bekum Va'aseh. Yeah, but by me not saying anything, it's Shevi Al Tasa. So Nodav Yehuda says it's Tully and not Machlokas, Rambam and the Rush. How you define Shevi Al Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh? The reason it's a famous tshuva is because it's a crazy story, and also because in the second half of the tshuva, after he discusses Kavod HaBrios, the fellow wanted to know how to do tshuva for such a thing. And the fellow said, just go easy on me as far as fasting and things like that, because I'm a big, big masmid. I learn like 18 hours a day, and it would be very, very hard for me to take sigufim and things like this upon myself, because pas b'melech tochel kachi darka shel tari, you know, I'm very shvach from all my learning. So Nodav Yehuda has a whole half of the tshuva about how to do tshuva for such a thing. He tells him, if you live the years of Misu Shelach, there aren't enough fast days that you can do to be mechaper for what you've done. So that's not going to help anyway. You know, that you're going to have to take a different mahalich over here. It's a fascinating tshuva. But anyway, so I think at the end of the day, if she's able to find a non-Jew to help her out, I think we can be makel based on Kavod HaBriyuchos Dochel Osei Shabbat Torah. Ideally, she should try not to position herself and be mesayeya too much, but without any siyua, just to sit there, you know, and let the woman do whatever she does to her face. I think that would be best if they can find someone that they that will help them out with that. To do it with a shinoi, I'm less comfortable with, because Amir al-Akam is always a lower level drabanan than doing with a shinoi, and I'm never really sure, is it really going to be a shinoi if she does it with a shinoi? Yom Tov Sheni, also less comfortable with. Yeah, so did someone ask that? Ah, yeah, if she waits till Sunday night, it's going to be Yom Tov Sheni. A little less comfortable with, because Yom Tov Sheni, we try to make it Ki Yom Tov Rishon as much as possible. What's the other question we have? Discovery is by even in the case she could stay home and not require it. She can't really, meaning she can't really stay home because her family's going to this place and she's not making the decisions. So the Gemara is talking about where he didn't plan ahead and just happened. In a chinami over here, she's sort of planning, but it's also she didn't plan on growing facial hair either. You know, that's just sort of something that Kodesh Baruch Hu did to her. According to those who assume misayaya, do we assume it's possible for someone to get a haircut without being misayaya? So maybe a haircut not. I think we assume it's not possible because you're always going to, you know, move. But maybe just on facial hair. I don't know if she has some hair on her chin or something. You know, it doesn't involve angling too much. You just sit there. So it could be that it is, it's more possible in such a case. Okay, and with that, I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Next week, Be'ezras Hashem, I hope to be able to give the shiur at 8:30 in my shul. We're going to be live streaming if anyone's interested. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson is giving a shiur in my shul next Thursday night at 8:30 in honor of our Chanukah Sabayis. We're going to be, I don't know if anyone has seen, we have a pretty impressive lineup of speakers coming Be'ezras Hashem next weekend to our shul. So Thursday night's Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, and then Shabbos. Well, none of you live in the neighborhood, but Shabbos is Shechter for Shabbos. Sunday morning, Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg and Rabbi Eitan Feiner. And Sunday night, Rav Moshe Weinberger. So, Be'ezras Hashem, I'll give you that information if anyone's interested next week. Okay, have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.